Okay. This is Marnie Smith and Caitlin DeSylvie, and we're doing an interview in West Riverside on the 5th of November 2007. And we are talking today with
John Price.
And when and where were you born?
I was born August 26, 1935, in Three Forks, Montana.
Okay, and have you how long have you lived in Milltown, Bonner, West Riverside?
We moved in Bonner, I believe, in 1962.
Okay, and where did you move from?
I transferred from Anacon Operations in Butte to the Anacon Operations here in Bonner.
So did you move here with a family?
Yes, we moved here with our family, right. We had a son, and our daughter was born in Bonner, okay? I can't remember the year, but she was born in Bonner, okay? Yeah, and we raised our family in Bonner, okay, the boy and the girl.
So what was the job that you came to Bonner for?
I came over here as a draftsman for Anacon at the time, okay?
Uh-huh.
And at the time, I worked for the Anaconda products plant, which prefabricated houses, laminated beams, and structural panels. And after Anaconda sold the operation to Champion, I was retained on with Champion in her engineering staff. And I remained there until 1963 when I retired. Yeah.
Okay. 63?
Excuse me, 93.
That's
excuse
a pretty
me.
Short career.
93, okay.
Yeah. And so where in Bonner did you live?
We lived in a Bonner housing up there.
Uh-huh.
And for about the last 15 years, I was in charge of the Bonner housing, okay? And just one of my additional duties they gave me at the time. And I seen that, you know, who rented the houses and the upkeep and the maintenance of the houses until Stimson bought the property, okay? And at the time, I wasn't picked up at the time to go back to work for Stimson, so I took my retirement from Champion International.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did the people rented the houses?
All people rented the houses at Bonner, yes, uh-huh.
And they were all?
I believe there were 46 houses, 47 houses. And mostly the houses were provided there for Anaconda, in the Anaconda days as well as in the Champion days, for supervisory personnel and maintenance people. Being that those are the people, if anything happened, they had to be on call to be, for whatever. And it was handy to have there, and plus it was a benefit for the people having, okay? Because the rent was really reasonable at the time, okay?
What was the rent?
I don't know. I think when I moved there in 1962 or something, it was about $37 a month or something.
Wow.
And there at the end when I retired, it was over about $200 and something a month, okay?
We actually have an aerial photo of Bonner, I think. Maybe you can show us which house you lived in.
Well, over the years, about 30 years I lived there, we lived in three different houses, okay? And the last house we lived in was house number 40, which is directly across the street from the main gate at Bonner, okay?
Okay.
The one with all the big windows in the front
of
it.
That's a beautiful house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This actually doesn't capture that much. Sort of a funny slice. I'm not sure how helpful that's going to be. Oh, but this one, that shows, we'll have to be clear for the tape here, but that is that house number 40 right there?
No. Oh. House number 40 is right on Highway 200, okay?
Oh, okay.
This is the post office here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this, I believe, is the main gate. House 40 is that house right there.
Okay.
Okay? Yeah.
So on 200?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. What were the numbers of the other two houses?
I lived in a house. First house I moved in was house 38. And then a bigger house came available. We moved in that was house 30. And then for about the last 10 years or so, 15 years, we lived in house number 40. Okay? Yeah.
So one of the things I've always been curious about with those houses is it really looks like None of them have really been added onto since they were built. Is that something the company just...
Well, as long as I can remember, there was never any add-ons put on them houses all the years I lived in Bonner, okay?
Because people would have had to do... They were renting, they had no...
Well, for what they was charging for them at the time, they couldn't warrant spending a whole bunch of money on
right.
them, putting mm-hmm. expensive additions on them, okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just interesting, because by today's standards, those are pretty little houses.
Well, they're a little higher, yeah, right, they really are. Back that one big house, house number 40, that's a pretty good-sized house, because it had two bedrooms downstairs. It had a living room, a dining room, a kitchen, a utility porch, and upstairs... The upstairs was all one big bedroom. I mean, when we lived there, we had four full-size beds up there. So when company came, we had all kinds of
room. Oh,
wow. Okay, so, but, you know.
That's plenty of room. So yeah. Were those bigger houses kind of prized? Like, would people try and work up?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, they,
get on
you know,
lists?
Waiting lists. There was a waiting list. Those, when somebody asked for a house, you took the date, their name, and what their occupation was, okay? Because that's how it was decided. Who got the houses? Supervisory first.
Okay.
Maintenance people second. And after that, down the line, okay? And that's how it would determine who got the houses. But the houses were originally for maintenance people and supervisory.
Mm-hmm.
That was more beneficial to the company, okay, to have it that way. Yeah. By maintenance people, I mean electricians, plumbers, millwrights, stuff like that mm-hmm. were essential people to keep the mill going, okay?
Were these three houses all steam heated?
Oh, no.
No, these
the only houses which were steam heated in Bonner was the houses that are directly across from the main office. In that great big white building right there?
Okay, yep.
Yeah. Just this row of houses here were the only houses that were steam heated in my time at Bonner, okay?
Huh.
Them houses right there, and they refer to them as silk stocking row, okay?
Oh, right. And those houses tend to be a little bigger than the other ones, don't they?
Well,
that row.
Yeah, because a lot of them, the mill managers lived in them houses, okay?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So, but those houses are scheduled to be torn down, okay?
That's part of the next wave.
This here and all this here on the west side of the highway.
Are they moving those?
I don't know what they're doing, okay?
Yeah.
They haven't said what they're going to do with them, but they're scheduled to be removed.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to be demolished or moved, okay?
Yeah.
So of the 47 that were there when you started managing them, how many of those are already gone?
Are already gone?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they've torn down two of them houses. Three of them houses on this row, still clocking row, okay? Three of them or two.
The one on the corner.
The one on the corner, right across from the post office, was torn down years and years ago in the 60s, I believe, mm-hmm. okay? And then you come down the street, there's a couple more vacant houses in there that's been torn down, okay? And then on the far end of Bonner, across the old railroad tracks,
mm-hmm.
before you hit the corner, there were three houses there. They were torn down also, okay? They were just torn down in the last couple of years because they said they needed more log yard room, okay, for storage of logs. They wanted to do all our log yard storage on that end of the property, being that there's no plywood plant operations. There never will be again. The only thing that's running is a sawmill, and they wanted for log yard storage.
Right.
So, yeah.
Mighty, were there historically some houses sort of on your way into town on the left side of the road just before the mill? They got moved at one point? I feel like I saw a historic picture that showed those.
Well, there could be.
I'm not sure.
In time gone by, there could be. Could have been other houses. There was houses before my time that were on the right-hand side of the road going up near the upper end of town that were taken out of there, okay?
Uh-huh.
Remember the old railroad tracks used to go across the roadway up there by Bond, or on the other end of Bond, or north end of Bond?
Okay, yes.
Way up. There used to be some houses
on that side of this.
Yeah, on the right-hand side over there. There was some houses over there, okay, that were taken out of there, right. And when they built the, back in 1962, 3 or 4, there was a bunch of houses right in here, right across, you know where that main gate is now?
Yeah.
They were all torn down to make room for lumber expansion, okay, at the time, right in here.
Yeah. I see. So there were substantial
numbers. So there's quite a few of them been torn down over the years, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you live in Bonner until you retired?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Done. None of them have really been added onto since they were built. Is that something the company just...
Well, as long as I can remember, there was never any add-ons put on them houses all the years I lived in Bonner, okay?
Because people would have had to do... They were renting, they had no...
Well, for what they was charging for them at the time, they couldn't warrant spending a whole bunch of money on,
right.
Putting expensive additions on them, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just interesting because by today's standards, those are pretty little houses.
Well, they're a little higher. Yeah, sure. Right. They really are. In fact, that one big house, house number 40, that's a pretty good sized house because it had two bedrooms downstairs. It had a living room, a dining room, a kitchen, utility porch. And upstairs, the upstairs was all one big bedroom. I mean, when we lived there, we had 4 full sized beds up there. So when company came, we had all kinds of
room. Oh, wow.
Okay, so, but you know.
Plenty of room. So yeah. Were those bigger houses kind of prized? Like, would people try and work up?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, they,
get on
waiting list. There was a waiting list. Those, when somebody asked for a house, you took the date, their name, and what their occupation was, okay? Because that's how it was decided who got the houses. Supervisory first.
Okay.
Maintenance people second. And after that, down the line, okay? And that's how it would determine who got the houses. But the houses were originally for maintenance people and supervisory.
Mm-hmm.
That was more beneficial to the company, okay, to have it that way. Yeah. By maintenance people, I mean electricians, plumbers, millwrights, stuff like that that mm-hmm. were essential people to keep the mill going, okay?
Were these three houses all steam heated?
No.
The only
houses which were steam heated in Bonner was the houses that are directly across from the main office. In that great big white building right there?
Yep. Yeah.
With just this row of houses here, were the only houses that were steam heated.
Oh, I see.
In my time at Bonner, okay? Huh. Them houses right there, and they referred to them as silk stocking roll, okay?
Oh, right.
So.
And those houses tend to be a little bigger than the other ones, don't they?
Well...
That row.
Yeah, because a lot of them, the mill managers lived in them houses, okay?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So, but those houses are scheduled to be torn down, okay?
That's part of the next wave.
This here and all this here on the west side of the highway.
Are they moving those?
I don't know what they're doing, okay?
Yeah.
They haven't said what they're going to do with them, but they're scheduled to be removed.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to be demolished or moved, okay?
Yeah.
So of the 47 that were there when you started managing them, how many of those are already gone?
Are already gone?
Yeah.
Well, they've torn down... Two of them houses, three of them houses on this row, still clocking row, okay? Three of them or two of them.
The one on the corner.
The one on the corner, right across from the post office, was torn down years and years ago, in the 60s, I believe, mm-hmm. okay? And then you come down the street, there's a couple more vacant houses in there that's been torn down, okay? And then on the far end of Bonner, across the old railroad tracks, before you hit the corner, there were three houses there. They were torn down also, okay? They were just torn down in the last couple of years because they said they needed more log yard room, okay, for storage of logs. They wanted to do all our log yard storage on that end of the property, being that there's no plywood plant operations. There never will be again. The only thing that's running is a sawmill, and they wanted it for log yard storage. Right. So, yeah.
Mikey, were there historically some houses... So on your way into town on the left side of the road, just before the mill, that got moved at one point? I feel like I saw a historic picture that showed those.
Well, there could be.
I'm not sure.
In time gone by, there could be. Could have been other houses. There was houses before my time that were on the right-hand side of the road going up near the upper end of town that were taken out of there, okay?
Uh-huh.
Remember the old railroad tracks used to go across the roadway up there by Bond, or on the other end of Bond, or north end of Bond?
Okay, yes.
Way up. There used to be some houses
on the
right-hand side over there. There was some houses over there, okay, that were taken out of there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when they built the, back in 1962, 3 or 4, there was a bunch of houses right in here, right across, you know where that main gate is now?
Yeah.
They were all torn down to make room for lumber expansion, okay, at the time.
Oh.
Right in here.
Yeah. I see. So there were substantial lumber.
So there's quite a few of them been torn down over the years, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you live in Bonner until you retired?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. born and raised in Butte with her 12 brothers and sisters, uh-huh. okay? Uh-huh. So, yeah.
Did any of your kids end up working at the mill?
Yeah, my son worked there for 20-some years.
Oh.
And he finally got out of there about 2 years ago. We thought that the getting out time was pretty good at the time, and he had a chance for a different job, so he took it just to get out of there, okay? So.
He's probably glad he did now.
Well, he is, because he worked in a plywood plant, and he would have got let go, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They all got let go that worked in the plywood plant, so, yeah.
How do you think that those closures have changed or affected people that you know locally? Do you think it's making a big difference?
Oh, I don't know. Most of the people got laid off, you know, a lot of people I know, you know, a lot of them are going to school, mm-hmm. you know, to university or to Votech or something, or one of them's moved to Moses Lake to go to school, one of the maintenance guys, and another guy, he's still working there, one of the older millwrights, but, I mean, it's actually changed our lives, okay, I mean, you know, you take a good paying job, $14, $15 an hour, and all of a sudden you haven't got a job paying $14, $15 an hour, plus all the benefits they had. It's pretty hard to find anything that'll equal that, okay? It's really hard, okay? So, yeah. And if you get up there in a few years, it's worse yet because nobody wants to hire a 60-year-old man. I found out, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there much difference, or when you were living in Bonner, did you sense any difference between Bonner and Milltown and West Riverside, and it was all sort of the same?
Never did. I mean, uh-huh. you know, it was all, you know, there was not much difference, really, okay? Uh-huh. So everybody kind of knew everybody, if you want to know the truth about it, okay? So, yeah. And you recall most of the people out here were Scandinavians at one time, okay? Norwegians, Finlanders, uh-huh. et cetera, Swedes, you know? Uh-huh. They all worked at the mill. And they were good people, real good people, you know? So a lot of them were my good personal friends, which most of them are gone now, okay? Their kids still live around here, you know? But like new friends, you know, they got, I don't know, 3 or 4 sons, you know. I know them all, good friends, you know, mm-hmm. real good friends, okay? And you kind of miss the old guys, though, but.
Mm. Oh, I'm sure.
I'm one of the old timers anymore. I'm only 72, okay? Yeah.
So was Bonner a good place to raise your family? Was that?
Oh, Bonner was a good place to raise your family. I mean, it was a good place. You had good schools, you had churches there, you know. Uh-huh. And years ago, you had a pretty good grocery store up here. I mean, old Disbro's grocery store, you know. You know, it had a meat market. Anything you wanted, you could get there, okay? You know? Mm. And it was convenient to live there. The only disadvantage of living there, if you wouldn't need anything, you had to go to town, okay? You know what I mean? Clothing and stuff like that there, you had to go to town or doctors and that, you know. But other than that, I enjoyed it, okay? I really enjoyed it, okay?
Did your kids spend a lot of time playing in the rivers and going out and exploring on their own, or...?
Well, my son, he spent a lot of time doing that, you know. My daughter, she didn't do much of that, really. But, you know, she played a lot of sports for the school, so did my son, you know. And my son used to go over to the old duck bridge, used to go across up. I don't know if you remember the old duck bridge. You went across the Blackfoot up there. It's no longer there anymore. But him and his friends used to go over there, and they'd take their fish poles and their bicycles right across the bridge. Go up Beer Creek and go fishing, okay? All summer long, okay? So,
did they fish in the reservoir?
No, they fished in Deer Creek.
In Deer Creek, but I mean,
they never did fish in the reservoir, so. I didn't want them playing on that bridge, you know. I told them I didn't want to ever see them playing on that bridge, so. They were pretty good about that, because I'd go check on them once in a while. I never could see them there. That didn't mean they didn't do it, but, you know. And he used to have 2 cousins that came from Butte all the time, about his age, came from Butte. In the summertime, they may spend a week, they may spend a month here with him, you know. And this one time, you know, I knew they was going fishing every day, which I didn't care, you know. But something for them to do, keep them out of trouble. And one day I said to one of the cousins, Gussie, I says, how many fish you guys got now? He says, oh, we got 100 and some, Uncle. I said, 100 and some? He says, yeah, we could clean them, they're them little fish, you know, about like that, you know. And they went and looked in the deep freeze, and they had bags of them. I said, that's it, no more fishing. When you eat them, you can go fishing somewhere. So one day they conned my wife, and they're cooking all them fish. and they invited all the kids in the neighborhood to come down and eat fish that day for lunch.
So they could go fishing again.
Okay. Yeah.
That's
great.
Yeah. So. I missed that one.
Yeah.
Frying 100 and some fish for a bunch of kids. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, dear. That's a good story.
Yeah.
So did they ever fish down around the reservoir? I mean, the dam? Or we heard stories about kids going inside the powerhouse and fishing out the windows. And
well, the kids didn't. I used to go in there, okay? He wouldn't leave kids go in the powerhouse, okay? Because you had them big turbines running all the time, and you had big electrical switch gear in there. If you touched that, it'd kill you. I mean, that's where all the power came in on. And if he was a good friend of Smitty, he was a dam tender, dam man, okay, at the time, okay? He used to leave you go in the wintertime, fish out the window, because, you know, pretty nice. Go in there and open the window, nice and warm here. You had a bench to sit or a stool to sit on. You fish out the window. Yeah.
We talked to Smitty last year.
Did you?
Yep. Yeah. Was our first interview. So you were friends with Smitty.
Oh, real well. Yeah. And I used to, you know, I got introduced to him by an old guy by the name of Young Karkinen. He's an old-timer from out here. He was an old-timer with Anaconda Company. He was in charge of security for years for Anaconda, okay? And that's where I got introduced to Smitty at the dam, okay? And he says, anytime John wants to come down here and go fish, leave him go. So that's how I got in the doorway, okay?
That's great.
I think old Elmer lives in town, don't he? Yeah. Emmett?
He lives out
Alberton.
Alberton, okay, yeah, okay, yeah.
So, when you came, the interstate was just being built, or had it?
They started building it. I think it was in '64 or something. I think they started building that interstate through Bonner and all that. When they rebuilt all that road through there and put the new bridge in down here, you know, the bridge right down here they're working on now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would. Well, I think it was '64 or something like that. '62.
So just
63.
After you arrived.
Yeah. Uh huh. Yeah.
So was that a big change in the community, or did it?
I don't think it made any difference, okay? I mean, you're just a new roadway is all. I mean, I don't think it made any difference in the community, really, okay?
And they had to move some houses in Milltown, I guess, but
I don't remember if they did or not, okay? See, I was in charge of all the Milltown houses at one time.
Oh, you were?
Anaconda did not own the houses, but they owned the property that they were on, okay? So I used to have to keep track of all the leases and all that stuff on them, okay?
Oh.
The only private property there was where Harold's Bar is now. That was private ground. And where the grocery store is at, that's the only private ground that was there. In fact, today it's the only private ground, I think, okay? So I had all them houses there. I forget how many there was, you know. So, but it was just to administer petty quarrels over where's my property line, where's this property line, you know.
Did it take a lot of time to do?
No, not really. Once I got it set up, it didn't take, you know, it was administered by a good friend of mine before I took it over, okay? And, you know, it was pretty well established. Most of them people got along, you know what I mean? So, but once in a while, somebody would say, well, you better come down and look at this, John. This guy's putting this on my property. And as far as Anaconda was concerned, it was nobody's property. It was their property, okay? You own the house, but that's it. But if they read that lease real careful, they could give you a 30-day notice, and you had to move that house, period, okay? There were no questions about it.
Really?
If you didn't like it, take your house and go, okay? That was the way it was written, okay? Hmm. Yeah.
Did that ever happen?
No, never did happen. So, never did happen. You know, most of the time, just petty stuff, you know what I mean? A neighbor get irked at a neighbor, you know. So
were most of those Milltown folks working at the mill too then?
The majority of them people that lived in Milltown now were all mill employees, okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And did that area look any different then in the 60s than it does now, or is it pretty similar?
It's pretty similar to what it was then, okay? You know, I can't remember, you know, really. There were some houses that burnt behind Harold's over there, alongside Harold. The interstate chain took some houses out, too. I mean, it came in and took some houses, a little bit of the houses out there. But over here in Milltown itself, behind the grocery store, I don't think that has changed one bit to speak of, okay, as far as houses is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And where Dufresne's live and in that area. Yeah.
In that little street where the house he was born in, that Leo was born in, is still there.
Yeah. Yeah, and then up the other end of the street, you know, up where the last house is in Bonner up here, there's a I forget what the people's name. I had it right on the tip of my tongue, too. Doucette. Mm-hmm. Lived in that first house in Bonner, you know, on the far end up there, or not Milltown. And then there was a Dufresne. Then there's a house that got burnt there. They tore it down and so on. But there had been very little change, okay?
When you think about it, it's very unusual, isn't it? I mean, you think of communities that are sort of changing a lot, and then there's not really been a lot of change.
It hasn't been hardly any change. Yeah. You know, much change there, really, okay?
Until now.
You know, and people, they did have water problems there, you know, around that gas station and everything, because that arsenic, well, originally them people were, I said, Doucette's and Dufresne. Bill Gauncher was, they had their water start tasting funny. And you get kind of a brown scum on the water. And it was determined that it was coming from lignins and tannins. Now that's, comes off wood. I mean, they put the logs out there and they sprinkle them with water to keep them wet so they wouldn't get all dried out and check and, you know, lose their value. And all that stuff got in the ground, and that water was getting into them people's well. Well, they, most of them wells were hand-dug 30, 40-foot wells. I mean, it's surface water, what they were drinking to begin with, most of them, okay? Yeah. So when that happened, Champion put in a new well in behind there, and that serviced all them houses on the north side of the road, water to them people, okay, that had them lignin and tannin problem, okay? And also, it helped because eventually some of them wells on this side did have arsenic, contained arsenic in them, okay? It was leaching through from the reservoir that way. But by then, they had water from the mill well, okay?
Yeah. So the water in Bonner came from the mountain,
No, it came right, you know where the main gate is in Bonner? There's a well house just inside the main gate. And that's where the water came there, and it's pumped up on the hill to a holding tank up there, okay? And that's where the water came from all for the mill as well as the Bonner houses. Yeah.
So how do you feel about the cleanup that's going on and how that's affecting people in the area? You can be honest.
We've had all kinds of...
Yeah, we've had the whole range of responses.
I can't swear because I'm on tape, okay? I think, you know, a lot of it, I think, is a lot of overkill. You know, I just, from things that's being done, there's a lot of money being spent that I really don't think should be done for them purposes, okay? Now, you know, I can cite one right now. You know that new walkway they put in up here going from down by the fire station, from the fire station up this way? I'd hate to have to pay for what that cost put in. The man hours that was put in on that is unreal. And everybody that lives down there thinks the same thing, okay? Thousands of dollars. And I can see the walkway, but I mean, talk about spending money. I mean, just they work there, and they come back, and they come back and redo and rework and just... you and I wouldn't put up with it. It was our dollar. If it was your dollar, you wouldn't put up for it, okay? And so I know them people live on that bunch of houses there behind the school. I know them all personal friends, and they just can't believe the amount of money that's been spent on that walkway, okay? And that's supposed to go all the way to Tura? I'd hate to pay for that, okay? You know, well, we are paying for it eventually, but...
Do you think that something needed to be done with the reservoir?
Oh, yeah, it had to be cleaned up. It had to be cleaned up, all that sediment there. For years ago, when we had that problem with the water in Milltown, I was telling you about some arsenic, there was a Dr. Bill Woosner from the university. He's in charge of the geological department. I got to know him quite well because he was coming out and getting permission to go on property to put in sample wells. Him and I talked quite a bit about the, you know, the contamination there. And they did all kinds of testing on that reservoir. They'd taken drill pipes down, take the core samples out and check them in. And they knew it was there. This was way back, I don't know how long ago, but long before they ever started on this, okay? And, you know, it was there, and it was leaching through because Gaunter's well and Doucette's well had that, got that arsenic in it. It was just creeping through, okay? But, you know, it should have been cleaned up a long time ago. But, you know, who was going to do it at the time. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you think that it was a good thing that the dam was coming out, or that it could have stayed in, or?
Well, yeah, that's kind of one where I really don't know if it should come out or shouldn't come out. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're, my thinking is here we are at an age where electricity is getting hard and expensive to buy, and here they're tearing it out. And that all paid for. It still runs. You're still producing a little bit of electricity. Mm-hmm. Why tear it out? Mm-hmm. You know? Well, I still can't understand why to tear it out, okay?
I wonder if someone will regret that.
But, the integrity of the structure of the dam itself was the determining factor, I believe, okay?
Yeah.
Because bad winter, they could have washed out, okay? But, even if it did wash out, it'd have minimal effect on Missoula. It didn't hold back that much water. Mm-hmm. That reservoir wasn't 20 foot deep, the deepest portion of it, because it was all mudded in, you know what I mean? There wasn't that much water, okay? Mm-hmm. Just like the dam at the Bonner Mill. They had a dam at the Bonner Mill, which they took out a couple of years ago, and it was all part of this project, okay? And they was always concerned about, if that thing ever broke, the old Bonner Dam ever broke, it caused all kinds of problems downstream with the Milltown Dam. And there wasn't enough water behind that dam to amount to nothing, okay? In fact, they even did a study. Montana Power did studies of it, that if it went out, it would have no effect on the Milltown Dam, basically at all, okay? Because it didn't back up that much water, okay? And people just didn't understand that, at the time, And that one year we had a real bad... When did we have the big ice flow that come down?
Blackfoot? 96.
96 or something?
Yeah.
It came down there, that where the walking bridge that goes across the Blackfoot up here by the Blackfoot Tavern? The guy lived across the river over there in that little house over there, and he called me one day at the mill and said, "John, Mr. Price, can you lower that dam?" I says, "Can I lower the dam? What for?" He says, "Well, that ice keeps backing up, and it's just right at my doorstep." And I says, "Mister, I'm sorry. If I lower that dam, it wouldn't make a bit of difference one way or another, okay? Because there isn't that much wind out behind it, okay? Really, there wasn't, okay? And basically, I think it got his house, if I'm not mistaken, but lowering that dam wouldn't have done no good whatsoever, okay? But
So what do you think the area will be like in 50 years? Do you think it'll have changed? I mean,
well, I'm sure in 50 years it'll be it'll be completely changed, okay? Yeah. I mean, basically because, once that sewer gets out here, you get all this vacant land around here. All you're going to see is a bunch of cluster housing like you do west of Missoula out there, But
do you think the mill will survive?
Between you and me, I don't think the mill will survive. The plywood plant is done. It's gone. There is nothing left inside the plywood plant. All the equipment's been sold, torn out. Some of it's been sold over the Pacific Ocean or the Atlantic Ocean someplace. Some of it's gone to Chile. There's nothing left in there, okay? Not a thing. That plywood plant will never exist again, okay?
Yeah. It's amazing because it was the biggest one in the country, wasn't it?
That was the largest plywood plant in the continental North America continent, excuse me.
Was it?
Yes, and that's not long for it to...
20 years.
20 years, and it's...
They built that 72, I think it was 72, 73. I was an engineer on a project with them. I was in engineering then. And we built that, and it went in. They had a year to build it, and they built it in a year and started it up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was the largest plywood plant in the North American continent. Yeah. That could produce 300 million square feet of plywood a year. That's a lot of plywood.
That's a lot. How long was it the largest for?
They downsized it, okay?
Oh.
Until they downsized it. Yeah, there's never one been built as big, okay?
Another thing you hear is that mill site is the oldest continuously operating mill site in the country.
Well, I think it is probably, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't think the lumber, when Anaconda had it, and Champion had it, they kind of had it a good thing there because they owned all the timber. Mm-hmm. Stimson don't own no timber. See, Plum Creek, when they Anaconda sold it. When Champion sold it, they sold the mill, this mill, and the Libby mill, Stimson. And all the timber went to Plum Creek. So for 10 years, they relied totally on Plum Creek, some agreement they had to supply the mill with wood, okay? But that's, you know, that was in 93. In 2003, that ran out. So they've had to go out and buy stuff, you know, their timber, okay? Where, it's, you know, if you have your own, it makes quite a difference, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right, it's hard for them to find enough.
And the way it is now, you know, the big mill like that, you know, it's tough to keep it going because a big mill like that, you just can't run it half throttle. You got to run it full throttle, full production all the time to make it pay, you know. And one of the bad things that over the last few years they found up there trying to run that mill, they don't get enough hog fuel to supply that mill. They get enough just barely keep it going. But one winter they ran out of hog fuel. And they froze that mill up.
And hog fuel is?
Bark, wood waste, stuff they put in the boiler.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, since the new type of logging has gone into effect, they move these machines in the hill, and it grabs a tree, cuts it, tips it up, and runs it through a delimmer, and at the same time it takes the bark off, all that fuel is left in the hills. They don't come into the mill, okay? And, you know, a little tree like that there has only got about that much bark on it. But if you get one about like that, it's got bark on it like that. There's a lot of difference in the fuel, okay? I mean, the quantity of the fuel, okay? Years ago with Attica, with Champion, they used to have a hard time getting rid of hog fuel. They get so much of it. I mean, they had piles of it all over the place. And it's kind of a hazard to store because if you leave it set too long, too high, it self-combusts and starts on fire in the piles, okay? So, but, you know, that hasn't been the case for the past few years, okay?
Well, the stone container mill, don't they, I mean, you see a lot of those trucks coming down.
Yeah, they have to have that. Well, a lot of them trucks are chip trucks, too, okay?
Oh, okay.
Chips for pulp itself, okay? But they rely tremendously on the amount of hog fuel labor, okay? A lot of them small logs you see coming in them trucks.
Yeah.
I think they just chop them up for hog fuel, if you want to know the truth about it, okay? Because I don't see how they could get them clean enough to use as pulp, okay? Because when they make paper, certain grades of paper, you can't have no bark in it whatsoever, okay?
Right.
So it weakens the sheet, okay, what it does. But they I'm sure they have a hard time getting enough hog fuel to keep going. They've got a big electric boilers out there. But when you press a switch to turn them on, man, they cost you tens of thousands of dollars to run one of them. I mean, that's per hour it's cost me, okay? But it takes a lot of hog fuel. When I was up here at the mill, there was a 180,000-pound boiler up there. That's what produces 180,000 pounds of steam an hour.
Wow.
To produce that much steam would take you 60,000 pounds of fuel an hour. That's 30 ton an hour. Times 24.
Oh my God, that's a lot. So was the mill set up so that when they had that waste product, it went directly to the boiler then?
Well, yeah, they had hog fuel conveyors going through the boiler, big A-frame that stored the stuff, and then they had stockpiles too, okay?
I see. So if it was going full bore and it was stripping logs, could it feed the boilers just from the production?
Oh yeah,
but now what you're saying is they come through and they just don't have all that on
them
anymore.
They haven't got that much on
there,
okay? You know, they get enough to get by on, but they have to go out and look for it, okay? They don't produce that much, okay?
So the electricity that goes into that mill, that's just used for lights and things like that?
Basically, it's just for power, for driving motors and everything. At one time, I had to do a survey up there, and in that plywood plant and the total operation inside the fence, there was 32,000 connected horsepower in there.
Wow, that's a lot. Wow.
32,000 connected horsepower, okay?
So one of the things that Smitty said when we interviewed him was that the connection between the powerhouse and the mill was pretty tight. Like he knew if certain machines got turned on.
Well, yeah,
He
could tell from the draw. Okay, he supplied very little. I mean, that couldn't even begin to supply the. But some of it did cipher there. Okay, they had an advantage here. They had source of power coming from two different main sources, one from Colstrip and one from another into them big transformer banks sitting down on the river down here, okay? Uh-huh. So if one of them went down, I mean, had a problem on the transmission line coming over from Colstrip, wherever it is, this other line could take over, okay? So uh-huh. they wouldn't be without power, okay? But as far as down here, very little. It was fed into the grid system, but he could tell. I mean, he could tell when it started. Yeah. He always staggered the shifts at the mill. The plywood plant didn't start at the same time as the sawmill. Reason for that is, if everybody went in at 8 o'clock in the morning, threw the switches, go.
Or the power would go.
And you paid for the power by the peak. Oh. Whatever it peaked at is what you paid for, okay?
Oh.
So if you start this section up here, then a little while later, an hour later, start this section, you didn't have that high peak, follow me. So there was a method of their madness for staggering shifts all the time, okay? Yeah. Yeah.
So how many people worked at the mill when you came and when you retired?
When I retired, it was still the big producing plywood plant, okay?
So it still had the 1,000 people?
Or? It still probably had 1,000 people working in there, okay? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it down to now?
100 and some.
Yeah, 160 or...
160. Those are just totally sawmill type people, okay? Mm-hmm. And a few people in the powerhouse, but that's the extent of it, yeah. And the lumber end of it, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, there's only 100 and some people left here out of 800 and some or 900 and some. Yeah.
So there's quite a lot of land here that is now kind of up for grabs, both sides of the Blackfoot, actually. What do you think's going to happen with the...
Well, I don't know. That one guy you see in the paper that supposedly bought the Bonner houses.
Yeah.
He supposedly bought this big lot right down here.
Oh,
yeah. The one...
On this side.
Yeah, on this one right here, you know.
Yeah.
Right on the other side of these houses, between the highway and West Riverside and First Street going this way, okay? He supposedly bought all that there, okay? The stuff on the other side over here is owned by town pump people. Okay, yeah. So I don't know, you know, it's there was talk or whatever, he's gonna put houses in there and all that stuff, you know, but he isn't gonna do nothing until they get the sewer out here, because the county says you will not, you can only allow to put one house per acre,
right? On septic,
period. Yeah. On septic, okay. And they ain't going to leave him put nothing in there unless they put in the sewer is either out here or he puts a big sewer treatment plant in, okay? Because I think at one time, there was, when Town Pump first bought this, they were going to, something about putting in a hotel or, you know, like a Super 8 or Super 6 or something down here on this bare land over here on the, going back. And I think that all fell through because no sewer for it, okay? Mm. And it's too big for a septic tank. Drain field systems of support, okay? So.
Well, I think we're kind of winding down here.
Do you have any stories or anything that come to mind that you want to share of things you remember that were interesting or funny or?
Well, there's lots of them, but I hate better. Better not repeat them. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, some from the old timers, you know, but just better not repeat them because I have to mention names. Okay, so.
Well, you can come up with pseudonyms for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we've gotten a couple good stories from people.
Yeah.
But a lot of good people lived out here, and you know, a lot of them are personal friends of ours, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and like I said, a lot of them are gone, okay? A lot of them are gone, so.
But it seems like a lot of their families are still here. Their children still live in the area.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of the children still live in the area.
Your children live
in the area? My son built a new house right over here, you know, Ramshorn Court right over here.
Uh-huh.
And my daughter and her husband bought a house, about two blocks past the fire station down there in Piltsville. So our family all live out here. Yeah,
because it does seem like, of all the people we talk to, most of them have children still in the area.
Yeah.
So they don't work for the mill anymore.
Yeah.
But
they like the Bonner School. You know, that's a... That's a plus right off the bat right there, the Bonner School to have. So,
Has that always been the center? I mean, besides being a school, being sort of a community center?
It kind of is. You know, it kind of pull people together there, okay? You know, when our kids were going to school, you know, and sports and everything, everybody kind of together, you know, and, yeah. Played football, baseball, and so on up there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, okay,
and the school had that brand new clam stand put in, raised the money for that, had all that put in, you know, so it's quite a plus for the community, okay? And supposedly that guy that bought the land, he's supposed to, you know, he got some plans there too, but I don't know what they are, okay, you know, for what he wants to do out there, okay? I know the superintendent of school kind of would like to have a community center built.
Yeah.
In that lot back here alongside where the parking is now, in the back, kind of. Just a community center, okay? Which, you know, there is no community center out here, okay? There used to be years ago, used to be the old Finn Hall right over here. I don't know if you know.
Yeah.
And, okay, that kind of used to be an old community center, you know. So, but there is no, nothing here like that, so it'd be a good thing if we could, so.
Does that bring the community back together again?
Well, I mean, you know, good. Community yeah. center, bring yeah. people together, okay? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, thank you.
Well, hope you help you a little bit, okay?
So. Yeah, talking with you. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So, thank you very much.
It's nice to hear about those the old houses in Bonner.
If you turn that off, I'll tell you a story.
All right, okay. Here we go. Sorry, tape.